Okay, so if you have a Bible, then please open it to 1 Corinthians 15 that Richard read to us, and just have a verse that I want to speak about this morning. It's there, chapter 15, verse 22. It's there on the top of the sheet if you haven't got a Bible, so you can see it there. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. There was a news story a few years ago about a woman coming out of her grave, escaping from her grave. Her husband had buried her. He'd used a stun gun and stunned her. I'm not recommending this, man. Don't get any ideas. And thinking she was dead, she buried him in a he buried her in a cardboard box in a shallow grave. I don't think they've been getting on too well for a while. But she'd come round in her cardboard coffin, and she'd managed to dig her way out and escape from her grave, much to her husband's surprise and probably disappointment. Well, I don't know by the sounds of it. Escaping from a grave. Well, the Bible's claim is that Jesus' enemies had done a much more thorough job. They haven't buried Jesus alive. They buried Jesus very much dead. They've got him crucified, killed by the experts in killing, the Romans. Nobody killed people quite like the Romans managed to do. They even thrust a sword in his side just to make absolutely sure. And Jesus had been taken down lifeless from the cross and laid dead in a tomb. It was over. Only, here we are this morning. It wasn't over. In an even more miraculous way, Jesus doesn't just sort of fight his way out of the grave. He defeats death and rises from the tomb. And the Bible's claim is that Jesus wasn't just defeating death for himself. He was defeating death for all who will come and place their trust in him. So if that's true, that is relevant for every one of us here in this room this morning or watching on this morning. And so to help us think about that today, I want to just take this one sentence then, written in this great chapter about the resurrection by this man, the Apostle Paul, where he says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." One of the reasons I love that statement is because it covers the whole Bible story in one sentence. It's a sentence that takes us right back to the beginning. It's a sentence that takes us right on to the end. It's a sentence that reminds us, it gives us the Bible's explanation for death, but it also gives us the Bible's promise of life, the hope of life. So on this Easter Sunday morning, let's look at this statement together. You'll see it's definitely a statement of two halves, isn't it? I always feel a little bit guilty on Easter Sunday to start off in the darkness and the gloom. But we need the darkness and the gloom in order to appreciate the light, don't we? To be fair to me, in my defense, it's hard to speak about resurrection without speaking about death first, isn't it? So I hope you'll all understand that. So here's the first part of the statement then. For as in Adam all die. Six words which remind us of two things I put down on the sheet. The reach of death and the reason for death. So of course, first of all then, the reach of death. Those stark two words at the end, you see them? All die. Wow. That's reminding us of the reach of death, if you like. It reaches to us all. None of us can avoid it. Its reach is universal, okay? Death is no respecter of persons. We've been reminded of that, haven't we, in a sense, in our nation in this last year when we've lost our dear Queen? I mean, we're reminded that no matter how important you are, how famous you are, death reaches you in the end. Even if you were a congregation of the finest athletes in front of me, which does take some imagining from here, that would still be true, wouldn't it? You know, death's going to reach you. Or if you were a congregation of billionaires, I'd still have to say the same, wouldn't I? Death is going to reach you. Your health might put it off for a while. Your money might be able to buy you some good medication for a while. But in the end, it's true, isn't it? You can't deny it. You might not agree with everything I say this morning, but you can't disagree with that. We're all going to have to die. Well, you go, well, happy Easter to you too, Hugh. That's cheery, isn't it? But it's why Easter and the resurrection are so important, isn't it? It's why it's so vital this morning to every one of us. You know, if I was to do a talk this morning on the importance of the forward defensive shot in cricket, that might not be of any interest to most of you here this morning. Or if I was to do a talk about how to invest £1 million, well, that's not going to be relevant to any of us here. Well, it might be one or two. I don't know. You might have a bit tucked away. But, you know, it's not going to be. But to talk about death and somebody who's claimed to defeated death and give hope in the face of death, well, none of us can say, well, that's not of any interest to me this morning, because frankly, we've all got to face death, haven't we? For as in Adam, all die. That's the reach of death. Well, what about the reason for death? And by that, I mean the ultimate reason. Well, Paul gives us the answer there in this passage, doesn't he? For as in Adam, all die, he says. And in that way, he's giving us the reason for death, the Bible's reason that we die. I said that this statement takes us right back to the beginning, and it does. It takes us right back to the very beginning, to the Garden of Eden. Because, of course, the Bible says we're not just here by chance, we're not just an accident, that this amazing precision and power in the universe, this beauty, is not meaningless, it's not random, that behind it all there's this amazing, glorious, wise, awesome, moral, holy God who made it all. And God made Adam and Eve, and he placed them in this world, and it was a perfect world. It was a world without any death, without any sorrow at all. The sort of world that we all long for, and the reason we all long for it is because ultimately that's the sort of world we were all made for. And Adam and Eve were there, and they knew God, and they walked with God, and they talked with God, and they lived in that world, and he placed them in the garden. And you children know the story, don't you? He said you can eat from every tree of the fruit of every tree of the garden, but there's just one I want you not to eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want you to show that you trust me by not eating from that tree. And if you eat of it, the day that you eat of it, what? You will surely die. And we know what happened. You children know what happened. The devil came, tempted Adam and Eve, said, well, if you eat this fruit, it will make you like God. You can be as wise as God. You can be God of your own. You can be your own God. And they ate. And in that moment, sin came into the world, and rushing in with it came death, didn't it? Rushing in with it came death, because this is a moral universe, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says that's the reason for death, okay? Now that's where the Bible so vastly differs, doesn't it, from the thinking of our world. Because why do we die? Why is there death in the world? Well, many people will say, well, that's just the way it is. That's just the cycle, isn't it? That's just how evolution works. It's a life-death cycle. That's death is natural in that sense. And yet the truth is that none of us think that, do we? None of us think that death is natural. We all recoil from it. We all hate it. When somebody we love dies, it's agonizing. When we think of death, we're fearful of it. Why is that? Well, the Bible says because actually death isn't natural at all. It's an intrusion into our world, into God's world. It wasn't made like that at the beginning, and it won't be like that at the end. But here we are in the midst of this now, and the Bible says that's the reason for death. For as in Adam, all die. And we must realize that the death that sin brings isn't just physical death. The death that came to Adam in that garden and Eve in that garden was more than physical death, wasn't it? It included that, with all the suffering and pain and agony and anguish that physical death brings. But God said, you children know this, don't you? In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Did they die physically that day? They didn't, did they? They began to. The aging process, as it were, began. But they didn't die physically that day. But they did die in another way. They died spiritually. Because what is life, really? Life is a relationship with God. life is to know God and walk with him. That's why God had made Adam and Eve. He made Adam to not just tend the garden and not just to enjoy his relationship with Eve, but to enjoy all those things in relationship with God. The God who made it all at the beginning. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. And to know God and love him and walk with him and trust him, that's life. And Adam and Eve lost that the moment that they sinned. They were separated from God. That relationship was gone. And so that's the reason for death. That's why we all die, because we're all in Adam. We all share the humanity of Adam. And Adam was, in a sense, there, listen to this, on your behalf, on my behalf. And what he did has affected us all. And you might go, well, that's not very fair. I don't like the sound of that. But the truth is that every one of us has followed that, haven't we? We've all been like Adam. We've all joined him in his sin and rebellion. And the Bible says, that's why we die. The wages of sin is death. For as in Adam, all die. There you have it. That sounds pretty bleak and gloomy, doesn't it? But thankfully, there's a second half to the statement. It's this: even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive. Wow, and suddenly there's light, there's hope. As we think about that statement, I want us to think about the claims concerning Christ and then the promise given in Christ. So first of all, the claims concerning Christ. In this chapter, actually, Paul makes certain claims about Jesus. In verse 45, Paul speaks of Jesus as the last Adam. You might see it there in verse 45. So Jesus is like another Adam, okay? So you've got the first Adam who was born and lived in the Garden of Eden and fell and failed and didn't resist temptation and gave in. And now we've got another Adam. Jesus has come as like the second Adam to undo all the mess that Adam brought, to restore all that Adam lost. That's why he's come as a last Adam, the second Adam, another Adam. He's come as a representative of a new people, of all who will trust in him. And we say, how did he do that? Well, he did it by becoming man. So at Christmas, we rejoice in Jesus becoming a man. Why is that? Well, because he's come to be another Adam and to be our representative. And what does he do? He lives a perfect life. So all that Adam failed to do, Jesus did. Adam faces temptation and gives in. Jesus faces temptation and stands firm. He lives a perfect, pure life that none of us have lived. And he does it on our behalf. And then what does he do? Well, then he takes all our sin and all our shame and all our guilt on himself and dies on the cross in our place for our sin, taking our judgment. All that separated us from God, he takes. And then what happens then? He's buried in the tomb. But on the third day, he rises from the tomb, from the grave. In the events that we consider on Easter Sunday, Paul says in verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead. And Paul has spoken about the reality of the resurrection in this chapter. It was according to the scriptures. It was just as was said in the Old Testament would happen. And there were also witnesses to it. That's what Paul tells us, doesn't he, in the beginning. That's what Richard read to us in the opening verses. There were people, Paul could say, who'd seen the risen Christ. Now, it wasn't like, you know, sometimes when I'm flicking through the channels on the telly, you reach about number 20, I don't know what it is, and there's like one of these paranormal, you know, where they go in search of ghosts and what happens, or they go, this room's a bit cold, or you know, they hear a creak or something like that, or somebody saw a shadow or something like that. They get very excited about it. It's not like that here, is it? People saw the risen Jesus. People touched him. He ate food with them. Over 500 people saw him all at one time. And these people weren't pushovers. They weren't all waiting outside the tomb on Easter Sunday, were they, going, here we go, get ready everybody. They all doubted it. When people told them, it says in the Gospels, it was like idle tales. It was like fairy stories. Don't be silly. Nobody rises from the dead. Of course they don't. Thomas, children remember Thomas was one of them. Even when the other disciples had seen him and looked him in the face and said, "We've seen the risen Jesus, he was here." Thomas goes, "I'm not going to believe that. People don't rise from the dead. I want to see him. I want to touch him." And Jesus appeared to him, didn't he? And he did see him and he did touch him and he worshipped him. And these men were willing and women were willing to die rather than deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, basically we've got two choices, haven't we, this morning? Either this is an absolute amazing deception that's lasted all these years, or this is the truth. This really happened. If you've ever tried to keep a deception going, it's a very hard thing to do, especially among a few people. But here are these people who were ready to live and die proclaiming Jesus risen from the dead. And here we are all these years later, and down through the centuries there have been those who have been convinced of the truth of these eyewitness accounts, whose lives have been changed by this message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that Paul, who was the last one to see him, he says, doesn't he, "And last of all he appeared to me on that Damascus road," so that the Apostle Paul could write, "I don't care what anyone else says, I've seen him. Jesus is risen from the dead." The claims concerning Christ, and then the promise offered to us this morning in Jesus Christ, and it's this, that we can be made alive. "Even so, in Christ all shall be made alive." Now we can think about that again in two ways. What does it mean? It means to be made spiritually alive. So I said at the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually. They lost that relationship with God that they had. It was spoiled, and they were separated from God. They didn't know real life. But in Jesus Christ, you can have that life. You can have real life, spiritual life. You can have a relationship with God in his Son, Jesus. And that's what it is to be a Christian. That's why Jesus came. He came that we might have life. Have it in all its abundance, he said. True life. Knowing God. Walking with him. Being right with him. That's what it is to be a Christian. And you can know that this morning. So can I ask you this morning, have you been made alive like that? Have you been made alive like that? Perhaps you're here today and you're living, but you're living without God. You're just living for lovely stuff, but it's all fleeting, and it can't really satisfy you. And it's only God and a relationship with him and enjoying all those other things in fellowship with him and right with him that can really, really make you alive. So are you alive this morning? You can know that. It's only in Christ. But it doesn't just mean that. It also means the hope of the resurrection. The previous verse, verse 21, again that Richard read to us, says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." So this, we're not just speaking about spiritual life, we're speaking about resurrection life as well. Christ is spoken about in this chapter as the first fruit. He's like the his resurrection is the guarantee that all who belong to him, all who trust in him, will one day be raised from the dead. Death's been defeated. So that we can say, "Oh death, where's your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" Because we have the hope that when we die, our soul goes immediately to be with Jesus in heaven. And then one day he's going to come again, and he's going to put right everything that's wrong. The one who made it all at the beginning is going to remake it all at the end. And the resurrection day is coming, and there'll be Richard read to us something of it, that resurrection body, new life without any sin, a perfect body for a new creation. And you say, "Well, that sounds impossible, Hugh." Well, resurrection from the dead was impossible, but Jesus rose from the dead. And the one who rose from the dead is like the guarantee that this is going to come. This day, this hope is going to come. That world that we all, in that sense, long for, want, we're grieved by all that we see around us and what we see in our own hearts. And that longing, God says, is going to be satisfied and fulfilled because Jesus has risen from the dead. Now, how can that hope be yours this morning? Well, it's only in Christ. Well, even so, in Christ. all shall be made alive. That means you need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to belong to him. You need to be one in that sense for whom he's lived and died and risen again. Well, how can that be yours? Well, you just come and you just trust him. You cry out to him to save you. You acknowledge your sin and you believe on him and you cast yourself on him. And then you can join many of us here this morning who already know that joy of life and peace and hope that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have that hope? You can have it this morning. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available this morning, as it were, to raise you from spiritual death and give you new life. You might say, well, I could never be a Christian. I could never keep it up. I can't do it. And you can't. But in Jesus Christ, there is all that's needed to save you, to change you, to make you a new person, a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing verse. Summing up the Bible's message, taking us back, taking us forward, telling us of death, but giving us hope. For as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. There's the gospel. Is it yours this morning? Will you lay hold of Jesus Christ? If you want to think more about it, get one of those books. If you want to talk to me, very happy to talk to you. This is the most vital message, isn't it, in all the world, to come to Jesus Christ.